let's go ahead and get started. But before we do, what I like to do in my class is, see if there's any prayer requests that you might have that we can voice to the Lord, and then we'll get started. I know my one today is, you know, that the weather will continue to hold, and yes, I do have your hat. Yes, I do. It's on my car. We'll get it later. Anyway, but that the weather will hold. Yesterday, as we were setting up, the Hagers came out and graciously helped us set up along with Thomas, and it seemed like we kept getting these rain showers, and you looked on the radar, and the only green spots are the ones going over Kyle. There's nothing else on the weather map except the little green spots going over Kyle. So, and then last night, one little green spot went over Kyle. So I don't know. But the Lord's watering our vegetation, so it'll be nice and green. And so I really believe it's going to be cool. So if we could be in prayer for that, that would be great. So, any other prayer requests? Or praises? It's not limited to...
What's going on with Tommy? What's the latest of Tommy and his car?
I have no idea.
They made it there.
Anybody else? Can we continue to pray? Ron or Alana?
Well, we got back
to
Mexico on Monday, and we had a great time, so I just want to pray for keeping everyone praying and relatively healthy and.
Yeah, we need to continue to be in prayer for Jim and Lori. Evidently, they brought a little extra passenger home with them. So I think we need to be in prayer for them. And Jim, I understand, is going to the doctor tomorrow to find out. But I heard everything else, as far as that goes, everything went really well.
Yeah.
So the Lord's always honoring us no matter what we do, it seems like, in every regard.
Another praise is the Lemons are here with us. They followed us up from Mexico. Yeah.
But I think that when you guys go back, are you going back down or are you heading over to Spain?
Go back.
Okay. Okay, then when do you go into Spain? Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I thought it was already. Okay, well, then you want them to follow you back down to Mexico?
Okay.
Yeah. Anything else, Ron?
Yeah, my prayer for Matthew. He's got a hernia.
Sorry. Was he playing basketball?
No, he's working.
Oh. Okay. Be in prayer for Matt. Steve? I'm sorry, I interrupted you. I was going to ask you if you would just pray for us. Sorry. And thank Tony. Tony was supposed to teach today, evidently. And so, a little mixed up. So,
okay. I'll teach next week.
I'm thankful he's allowing me to be up here. Well, this week, I've been praying about which psalm to cover. And I looked at one in Psalm 72 and Psalm 147. But I kept coming back to a different psalm. But before I get into that particular psalm, what is today other than Sunday?
Day.
July 4th, Independence Day. Yeah. Okay. How many think? You know, when we look at our different holidays we celebrate here in America, well, we have Thanksgiving. Okay. We have Veterans Day. We have Memorial Day. And of course, you know, we have Christmas and Easter, but I'm talking about just purely American holidays. But July 4th, what's different about July 4th than the other holidays I just mentioned? You're exactly right. July 4th, 1776. And being a history, I've got to let you know, they really signed it July 2nd. But it's announced July 4th, so that's fine. 234 years ago, and for those of you who have been around like I have, didn't it seem like just the other day we celebrated the 200th anniversary? That's 34 years ago. Anyway, so what is it about July 4th that sets it apart from these other holidays?
We get to go to the
houses. Okay. That's true.
For free.
But for those of those on...
God provides.
Okay, other, for all those... Yes, sir.
5,000 years.
Well, that's true, too. But what, yeah, I see... My class is already giggling because they already know what's going on here.
Well, I don't know that we've had any of the others without
that. Right. Well, see, the thing I'm trying to get at, though, is maybe I'll put it like this. How do we celebrate July 4th?
With patriotism.
Yeah.
Fireworks.
Yes! It's loud. By the way, this is a great room for me to be in. Okay, it's loud. July 4th is a celebration. I mean, my pyromaniac brother is here. And, you know, the first thing he had me do is go out and buy one of those big old things so he could set it off tonight. And why? Because it makes a lot of noise. It makes big colors. And stuff. We celebrate July 4th. Don't we? Does anybody hold back? Like, when you're watching the fireworks, you go, wow! Okay, we get excited. It's July 4th. Okay, we're going to the classes. All those 3 million people that are, you know, don't have the fortunate capability to come to our house, oh well. But, I mean, no, really, people celebrate July 4th. And we have no problem. We don't hold back on July 4th. As I said, my brother, the first time he came down here to one of our deals, and he could buy fireworks because he came from New Jersey, and he can't buy anything there. He can't buy a cap gun. But anyway, he went crazy. He spent $300 on fireworks. Not this time. That's before. Okay. So, if we have no problem celebrating July 4th, then why do we have a problem celebrating coming into the presence of God? Huh? Because the psalm we're going to look at is Psalm 100. And, you know, this is a psalm that's probably been taught and taught. It's even called the Old 100th. I mean, this is a psalm that really sums up pretty much everything we need to know in 5 verses. It is the last psalm in a series of psalms, starting with 93. And it kind of just brings 93, 94, 95, 96, 97, 98, 99 together in one. And it's a celebration of God and who God is. So, verse 1. Make a joyful noise. Now, there's another translation. Some of you may have shout. Does anybody have shout? Casey or Cassie? Cassie, see, it's been so long. Would you read what your verse says?
Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands.
Okay. Make a joyful noise, make a joyful shout. Shout to the Lord. Now, can you imagine, as Steve leads the opening hymn, if we actually praise God with shouts of acclamation, what it would do to him? I mean, he'd be so excited, he would probably forget what the next word is. If all of us were in there and we really were proclaiming God. After all, when this says, make a joyful noise, make a joyful shout, make a joyful noise, make a joyful shout. No, make a joyful shout! Make a joyful noise! You cannot sleep while I'm talking. Sorry. It's not going to work. But anyway, there should be some enthusiasm. Think of it this way. When it, back in the days when we had kings, when a king made an appearance, and the people loved the king, by the way, you know, What did they do? They shouted, "The King is here!" They were excited. They proclaimed this. But when we, and I say we, not just us, but as the church itself, many times as we go in, do we realize that we are coming into the presence of the King? Do we realize that as we sing, who are we singing to? Are we singing to each other? Who are we singing to?
The Lord.
Yes, we are. And so therefore, shouldn't it be joyful? By the way, where does joy come from in us? From within?
From Him.
From Him. Right. But from us, where is it derived from? As He works through. Okay. From the heart. Right? From our heart. It should come from our heart. We have a lot of head knowledge. You cannot be in this church and not have a knowledge of, have a lot of knowledge about the Bible and about the Lord. And we need knowledge, without a doubt. But we need that knowledge to transfer itself to the heart and then come from the mouth as it comes out of the heart. That's what joy is. It's hard. And I know I've talked about this forever. But it's really hard if you're up there leading a song, and especially, you know, with one of the great hymns of the church, could even, and, or one of the or something, and people go, "Hallelujah." I don't think "Hallelujah" was ever written to be sung. "Hallelujah." No. Who are we praising? Are we afraid God's going to hear us? Are we afraid someone else might know that we're praising God? Do we have a right to praise God?
Yes.
Do we have a reason? I sure hope so. I know I do. And so, we make this joyful shout to the Lord. It's your heart welling up. The other night, we went to a concert. And it was Dimensions of Blues, Stephen. And it was an Air Force jazz band. And I mean, you know, if you like jazz, it really got you thumping. But what really would touch my heart is when they sang the Battle Hymn of the Republic. And I just kind of like, whoa. You know, because I thought about being in the presence of the Lord. And that's the way we should feel as we come into His presence. We should be full of joy. Okay? So, if we're going to, well, let me put you like this. Picture someone, some human, that you really admire, that you really wanted to meet. Whether it's a sports figure or a great leader, maybe a great singer, or someone you would really like to meet. And you're going through the door. You have the privilege of meeting this person and talking to them. Would you go in and just kind of like, "Oh, it's you. Hello." I don't think so. I think if you had the privilege of meeting someone like that, your heart would be pounding, you would be excited, and that would transfer in your actions. But we don't seem to translate that too well in church. That's all of us. I mean, and I know maybe because it becomes familiar. Maybe it because, you know, sometimes it becomes like old hat, as they would say. Well, Psalm 100 is not letting you do that. God's saying, "You know, hey, here I am. Make a joyful noise." So, question number one to yourselves, rhetorical. Are you joyful? Are you joyful? Am I joyful? Or do the cares of this world just really weigh me down? Do we cheer when we enter into the presence of the Lord? We cheer at ball games. Those of you know, I've been a coach forever. But it's hard for me, but you know, you come on the field to cheer. The team's on the field. Yeah, I've been jumping up and down, bands playing and everything else. Now, I'm not saying we have to come out here with pom-poms and jump up and down. That's not what I mean. But the joy should be in the heart. Your heart should be jumping. Because you're coming into the presence of the Lord. Okay. Then it says, "Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. All ye lands. All the lands. Now, one thing I neglected to say about this psalm, I need to get back to it, that it's past, present, and future. Yes, it was written in the past, and it has obviously relevancy to the Hebrew culture at that time. But it's also for the present day church. But it's really talking about the future, millennial kingdom, when all the lands will come together and shout and praise the Lord. But for right now, what I'd like you to think about as well is that think about how blessed a land is when it comes before the Lord and praises Him. How many times was Israel blessed when they humbled themselves and came to the Lord? And that carried out to other nations. Whenever a nation humbled itself and acknowledged God, they were blessed. And you're right here in the greatest country as far as power goes and riches was ever formed. And as our founding fathers said, God, they strongly believed, without a doubt, God formed this nation. Why? Because they gave Him honor. They honored God. There's going to be, I'm hoping to do a seminar this fall on this particular subject, so I'm not going to go into it now. But to clear up a lot of misconceptions about our founding fathers. But they honored who the Lord was. So when we make a joyful shout, the whole land should be shouting joys and praises to the Lord. As I said, it's not going to really come to fulfillment until the millennial kingdom. But this is what we should be doing. Well, let me move on, because otherwise I'll run out of time. They know what that's like. Two of them, I can go another week onto it, but here I can't. Serve the Lord with gladness. Okay, how do you serve? What does it mean to serve anyway? When you serve the Lord with gladness, serve. Serve. What's serve? If you're going to serve, what do you have to do? First.
You have to be prepared.
Prepared. How do you prepare?
If you're going to serve drinks, you have to make it first.
There you go. Okay. You have to prepare. That's one thing. Whatever it is you're going to serve, you have to prepare it. Okay, suppose that you're going to serve the Lord. How would you do that?
I think it starts with a heart first.
What kind of heart?
Servant heart.
Yeah, humble, right? Yeah. You have to humble yourself. If you're going to be a true servant, what are you? You're already go ahead, what are you saying? Okay. Anyway, yes, you have to start with a humble heart. You cannot serve out of pride. You know, well, I serve. I've helped those people out. But did you serve because you wanted recognition? Did you serve because it made you feel good? Or did you serve because you felt humble and you felt that by being humble that, you know, look, I need to put myself lower than the people I'm helping. In this case, I need to remember who God is and humble myself before Him. So that's something we have to keep in mind every time we're going to serve. And let me tell you, it is hard because pride comes up. Anytime you do something, I'm sure those of you that went to Mexico and you were serving down there in a mighty way. And I'm sure though that they're like, look what I've done. I was there for a week. And I met all these needs. I made these people laugh. I witnessed to them. I. It's real hard to serve and not become proud. It really is. And something I have to remind myself all the time because I like, I just want to get praise. That was so wonderful what you did. Oh, thank you. Yes, it was. See, that's not a servant's heart. That's a prideful heart. So, serve. Okay, serve the Lord. Why should we serve the Lord? And I know you're going, who wouldn't know that? No, really, sometimes we need to stop Because some things that we see over and over and over and over, and I'm sure you've heard, serve the Lord, many times in your life. But actually, what does that mean to serve the Lord? How? God has everything. He created all. What does He need from us? Why do we serve?
How are you going to see
right. Excellent point. That's right. Anybody else have something that I could? But this, by the way, this is a Sunday school that everybody gets involved, and this is a lesson that everybody gets involved. So I'm not going to allow you just to sit there and be humble.
Another point is we are His creation.
Mm-hmm.
And when we acknowledge that we are His creation, I think a natural instinct is for creation to worship the Creator.
And you know, an interesting point too, if you're serving, let's say, you know, some of us were in the military, they said we served in the military. I look back at my 4 years in the military and I don't look at it as serving. I look at it more like as a bother, okay? You know, as I needed to do it, and I needed to fulfill obligations. But I don't really look at it as the fact that I actually served, because really if I had served, it would have been with a glad heart, as we're going to get to here in a minute. So, if I'm serving someone else, it's because I esteem them higher, or I have a love for them. I love them. That's why I want to serve them. So that service is not a hardship. I'm not saying it won't be difficult sometimes, but it should not be a hardship. It should be a joy. When we used to have the fiestas, it was, I don't think there's anybody that participated in that. They didn't think it was hard work. It was. No, physically it was hard, but serving the Lord, our heart should have been glad. Our heart should have been, you know, and you can see that on a lot of the faces.
Ooh, very tired, but very happy to do it.
Right. And that's exactly what service should be. And so if you're serving and it's hard and you're finding no joy, there's a problem there. Okay? Because very next it says, with gladness. Serve the Lord with gladness. When you're serving, is there a smile on your face? Are you ecstatic? Are you happy? Are you, gosh, if I have to do this again, I'm going to just die.
You know, service, I was just thinking about going to a restaurant. How many of us have been to a restaurant where the waiter or the waitress just throws the plate at you, throws you the utensils?
Oh,
they may be serving, but it's not with gladness. And you, the receiver is like, what did I do?
Uh-huh.
So I can imagine our Lord, when we serve with the, you know, how He's going, what?
Exactly right.
You know.
Exactly right. That's a very good illustration. And you know, I know, I've seen some waiters and waitresses that have been just, you want to give them half the ticket as far as the money, you want to, for a tip. And there's others you want to say, do I even have to pay for this meal, much less give you a tip? Because, yes. But anyway, right. So, but we need to look at that ourselves. As soon as we see someone else that we think is not serving with gladness, maybe we ought to look at ourselves and say, 25, aren't you serving with gladness? What's your problem? Maybe I got a problem. I better be looking at myself. Okay. Amen. That's another excellent point, because you know, we've been bringing out examples of when other people are watching us as we serve. But what about those times when it's just us and the Lord and we're serving? As you said, maybe just cleaning a toilet. Are we joyful about that? Yeah. Are we joyful about mowing the lawn? We're starting a lawnmower, play hammer throw with the lawnmower because it doesn't start. How joyful are we? Okay. Yeah. And by the way, serving the Lord is a consistent, constant thing. It's not just like, Hey, I was there Sunday. I served. That's all I need to do. I don't think so. So, let's see. Okay, let me go on to the next part. Come before His presence with singing. Steve, don't you like that? Wouldn't that be great? All of us, see, I've already mentioned singing, but here we go again. I've got a lot more to say about it. But singing. How can you sing without a glad heart? How can anybody do that? I don't care what song you're singing. I don't care if it's some 60s song that Jim doesn't want me playing on the bass guitar. It doesn't matter. I mean, how can you sing a song without being happy? When you're happy, don't you naturally sing? Or that's just me? Am I the only? Okay, raise your hand. Come on, let's see. All right, here you go. When you're happy, you like to sing. Even if you can't. I can't, okay? Ever since my operation, it's even worse. I think my voice is bad now. Actually, it's worse now. What am I talking about? So, but I still like to sing. And even if it's just humming, I like to, because I am glad in my heart. So, come before His presence with singing. Did you ever stop to think that maybe singing can almost be the highest form of praise and worship to the Lord? It says it right here. Just say, come before His presence with all your wonderful deeds that you've done. Come before His presence with your beautiful clothes.
No.
What does it say? Excellent. And you're going to sing it out, right? There you go. So, come before His presence with singing. We should be doing that. When you have your own little private devotion, do you ever sing or are you afraid to? It's only you and the Lord. He gave you your voice, by the way, and many other things. He's not upset that you can't hit a C. It sounds more like a B flat or something. That doesn't concern Him. So, come before His presence with singing. Well, Spurgeon, I'm going to give this his quote. And I don't know how many of you have read anything by Spurgeon. For those of you that don't know, here's a preacher in the mid-1800s who, they didn't have enough room in a 10,000-seat tabernacle to get all the people in. He was evidently very gifted and a very humble man. And he had a way of putting words. And so, here's what he had to say about coming before the presence of the Lord and singing. The measured, harmonious, hearty utterance of praise by a congregation of really devout persons is not merely decorous, but delightful. And it is fit anticipation of the worship of heaven, where praise has absorbed prayer and become the sole mode of adoration. Think about that. Jim has brought this out before. We pray here. We're not going to be praying in heaven. We're going to be praising. Shouldn't we be practicing a lot of praising down here? That's what we're going to be doing in heaven. And you won't be able to hold yourself back. So you say, well, then why do we have to practice? Well, you know, I think we need to practice for ourselves. So that when we get to heaven, the praise will just be such a natural thing. And I can think of nothing that lifted my heart up more. And again, this is a story most of you have heard before, but I'll make it as brief as possible. Back when at the Institute of Basic Youth Conflicts was, I'm sure it's still going on, but anyway, we used to call it the Bill Goffin Conference, and I was able to go with Richard Short and Jim Jamar to the Advanced Conference in Indianapolis, Indiana. We drove from Dallas up to there all at once, and it happened to be a long 2 days, because Richard and Craig and Brenda can appreciate this, with Richard, but we left here at San Marcos really at, I worked until 12 o'clock at the hospital, the old hospital. We got off, we drove up to Dallas, got there at 3 o'clock in the morning. And I thought, and then we're supposed to leave by 11 to go pick up Jim Jamar in Texarkana. Well, I thought that it would be wonderful to get some sleep. Well, Richard didn't think that. He wanted to go to church 7:30 in the morning. We got to Dallas at 3:30. So we got up at 6:30 to go to church at 7:30 so we could leave to go get Jim. And so I had no sleep. And I had no sleep driving all the way up to Indianapolis. We got there at 10 o'clock Monday morning. The conference started that Monday evening. And everything that could go wrong went wrong. I mean, I was going to get some rest. Richard called me up because he needed a haircut. His hair was this long at the time. Okay, he needed a haircut. And it was my car. That's why I had to take him. So, okay, fine. And things went from bad to worse. And I'm the kind of person, too, if I don't get fed, I would get real grouchy. I'm already grouchy. That's really bad. And so I go for dinner, and the line's out the door. And I told them I was going to meet them somewhere at 6 so we get good chairs. So I didn't get to eat. So we get there, and I'll start this conference. I was miserable. I just, you know, and you can ask Sherry. She's seen me like this once in a while. Not very often, but I was a miserable person. Well, we stood up. Now, there are 4,000 people at this conference. And they had us sing All Hail the Power is the first song we're going to sing. Oh, goody. I like it. I do like that. I love that hymn. But I was in no mood to sing anything. Remember? You can't sing if you're grouchy. And so I got up. But when those voices opened up, it was like, it just, my heart just completely changed. And I said, Lord, forgive me for being such a miserable little pumpkin, or whatever word you like to put in there. Punk, whatever. You know, forgive me for being so selfish. And having this thing of, I didn't get things my way. Okay? So even though I went into his presence, you might say, with a more or less than gladful heart, because of that, he changed it to a glad heart. So, Watts, Isaac Watts, another hymn writer, wrote a song, and we call it Marching to Zion. We're marching to Zion. Now that's all I'm going to sing, because Steve's singing it instead. Anyway, he says, let those refuse to sing who never knew our God, but children of the heavenly King must speak his praise abroad. Okay, hey, if you don't know the Lord, you don't need to be singing. But those of you that do know the Lord, you can't help it. You have got to. You have got to sing. A sad thing was that, I don't know how many of you knew who Robert Ingersoll was. Late 1800s, early 1900s, he was an atheist. And he said at his funeral, he wanted no singing. I wonder why. Atheists, people who do not accept the Lord, have nothing to sing about. But those of us that do know the Lord have everything to sing about. We have two more pages to go. It's a little proper joke I have with that. Okay. Now, verse 3. Know that the Lord, He is God. Here's that knowledge we talked about earlier. Know that the Lord, He is God. Why is knowledge important? Or isn't it? Now you can answer this. It's not rhetorical. Looking for answers. Got to get wrong.
Foundation for faith.
Why?
Without knowledge, faith, there's no basis for it.
Who gave us knowledge? God, right? He provided the knowledge in His creation. It says, in His creation, we know Him. So, that's where knowledge comes from. So He says, know me. Know me. Why? Well, I thought it was very interesting with what Spurgeon had to say. He was talking about the fact that at that time, I remember this is in the 1850s. Darwin had published his idea of the species in 1859. But even in, before that, there were stirrings out in the community, quote, scientific community, about this thing of evolution. And Spurgeon related to that in regards to the song. He said, you know, there's this thing going around about the fact that we all just came from nothing, there is no God, we're all just a bunch of particles. And Spurgeon said, how utterly ridiculous. How much faith does it take to put faith in nothing? To believe in nothing? How much faith does that take? When you have all this evidence, all this knowledge of God around you, what kind of faith is that? So when people would mock those of us who believe in the Lord and say, how can you believe in a God? Well, the evidence is everywhere. How can you not? That should be the question. Not how do you believe? How do you not? Know the Lord, that He is God. What does that mean to you, that He is God? What does that encompass? Oh, then, yeah, the easy answer is everything. I know. But I mean, what does that mean to you?
Creator.
Creator.
Of all.
Of all. Including us, which will come in the next verse. Right. So worship must be intelligent. I'm not gonna, I could really go on to that for about the next 3 hours, but
I was just thinking about the word no. And when in the Bible, when Genesis, when it talks about Adam knew Eve, mm-hmm. that implies intimacy.
Right.
And that we shouldn't know God like this. We should know Him intimately,
mm-hmm.
which means we need to read the Word. But just knowing that the Lord Himself is God, that's really deep. It's not just a surface,
right.
you know, thing.
That's exactly, that's what, when you know, as you're pointing out, when you know someone, you know all the facets, all the intricate parts, everything about them, or at least as much as you can, and that's the way God wants us to know Him. It's on a personal level. Yes, we're going to worship Him corporately, but it's a personal thing. When it says, know that the Lord, He is God. The one who we worship, He is God. Get that firmly implanted in your mind. Let me tell you something. It's real easy, and I know you've run into people as well. They'll say, oh yeah, the Lord's God. Oh yeah, I believe in God. But do you really have that personal knowledge, the personal relationship with Him? Before I became a Christian at the age of 23, for 22 years, I thought I was a Christian. I knew who God was. I'd read the Bible. But I did not have that intimate relationship with Him. That knowledge, that true knowledge of who God is. Okay, then it goes on to say, is He who has made us and not we ourselves. Boy, how many times are you sitting around thinking that what a wonderful person you are? Or maybe you're sitting around going, oh, I'm so miserable. Wait a minute. Both those statements are wrong. Yes, we do things wrong. We need to seek apology. I'm not talking about that. But God made you. God made me. Give Him the glory. Very difficult. Every single thing you have, God gave. By the way, the way you look, the way God designed your body. Now, I know that some of us come at it onto the design. But still, the thing is, we should be thankful that God made us the way we are. He knew exactly what He was doing. This idea that, well, you know, I have to go and chop off half my nose, or I need to go and fix an ear, or I need, whatever it might be. God made you for a reason, just the way you are. And so, give him the glory there. Since God made us, do we have any right to glory? Do we have any right to think more of ourselves than what we are? I know you're probably thinking, wait a minute, didn't you just say we should? I know. I'm not saying you should be thinking, well, I'm such a piece of dirt. I should. No, not that either, because remember, God has made you. But the thing I'm getting at here is, whom do you give the glory to? Who rightly deserves the glory? And how often do we like to take that? How often do we want to get that glory? And when we seek glory for ourselves, how does that affect our worship of Him? Have you thought about that? If I'm giving God all glory, my worship is going to be on that relationship basis that Susan was just talking about. But when I'm seeking glory, that's going to kind of cause a separation. Not kind of. It will cause a separation. My relationship with Him will not be there as it should be because of the glory I seek. This, let me see, because there's a lot of things I'm not going to get to, so I'm trying to weed through here. But there are two things I do want to talk about on this verse, this continuum. First is, and this is not mine, I wish I came up with these words of wit, but I didn't, it was in my studies, and I don't have the person to give the honor to as far as that goes, but anyway, he wrote, by His wisdom, you know, we are tended by His, we are guided by His wisdom. Each one of us, all the decisions we make, we're guided by God's wisdom. How do we get God's wisdom? We learn His word. Okay? That's where wisdom comes from. Okay? We are tended by His care. He takes care of us. He watches over. He protects us. Nothing happens to us that catches Him unaware. Remember that. We always need to keep that upmost in our minds. Nothing happens to us. And I know I am really, really, and I would have had a hard time on the Mexico trip. Met the van broke down. I would have gone, oh, man, we need to get there. Well, the van's not working. What are we going to do now, Tony? Okay. It says, okay, the Lord has reason for the van breaking down. Okay, no big deal. It's in His plan. He's taking care of us. But no, I'd be worried about, oh, if I ain't going to make it. Okay, when we are fed by His bounty, since, as we've already pointed out, God created all belongs to Him, we are fed by His bounty. We are taken and provided for by Him. Another one put it like this, as far as knowing the Lord is your God. You need to know that your Lord, that you need to know that the Lord is God, so that you may be true amid superstition. Separate truth from superstition. Hopeful in contrition. What's contrition? Some people might say contrition, but contrition, what's contrition? Sorrow. Right. Maybe hopeful. Hopeful, not the hope as in someone promised us a year and a half ago. But in God, hope in God. We're hopeful in contrition. We know that our hope is fulfilled through Him. We're persistent in supplication because we know the Lord is God. What's supplication? Right. Yeah, through prayer and all that. And we're persistent in that because He's God. If the Lord was not God, why would you do that? Why would you be persistent in prayer? No reason to. We're unwearied in exertion. That's what we were talking about earlier. Unwearied in the heart. Yeah, physically, you're dragging. I guarantee by 10, 11 o'clock tonight, I'll be dragging. Physically. But I'll be singing songs because I know the Lord will have been with us through this whole day. Calm and affliction. Oh. Because the Lord is God, we can be calm in affliction. Calm. Because again, don't even say it's broken, man. That's not being calm. Or if you're going through some physical ailment, or maybe just anything that's causing you problems, can you be calm? Be still and know that I am God. Can we do that? Yes! Yes, we can! Oh, no. Someone else said that motto. I have a hard time anyway. Okay, calm in affliction. Firm in temptation. This is another difficult one. But if we, when we come across temptation, can we immediately look to the Lord? When we come across temptation, do we immediately look to the Lord, or do we follow the temptation? Well, if we know that God is who He says He is, we can be firm and resist temptation. We are told that's possible. Not only possible, it will happen. If you feel tempted, if you can turn those thoughts immediately to the Lord, you can overcome temptation. Did you know that?
And flee.
And flee, yes. Yeah, that's very good. Flee temptation. Follow you and prove how strong you are. Yes. Excellent. How about bold in persecution? We haven't really been persecuted here. You know, okay, there's little stirrings out there about how they're going to shut down various free speech in regards to Christianity. But we have not been persecuted by a long shot. But it might be coming. Can we be bold at that time? Can we stand before a mob and acknowledge who God is? And I read a story the other day about a particular reporter who was captured. I think it was in Afghanistan. And he was told that, either to submit to Allah or die. If you were put in that position, could you be bold and say, I serve only the Lord Jesus Christ? Do what you may. How bold would we be in that situation?
We build a game.
Right. That's what we need to look at. That's one point to look at. Right. If you take my life, I'll be with the Lord. And I'll be used for His glory. That's what boldness is. How about happy dissolution? When everything's falling around, you know, just falling apart around you, can you be... No, I'm going to change the head happy. I'm going to change it to cheerful. Can you be cheerful? When everything's falling around you, can you be cheerful? Because you know the Lord is in charge. Okay? That's knowing God. And then He made you and I. And since He made you and I, He has every right for whatever He has planned for us to do. Great?
Don't have boldness when we visited. Daughter Ruth and son-in-law Jonathan. We were informed that that Sunday there was a bomb threat from the family because of a girl. She had made a profession of faith in Christ. And so, well, it's really getting real. And so we would be attending the church service for this new bomb threat. And so you think, well, we're going to attend or we'll attend. Go for it.
Mm-hmm.
And in this Saturday, they had a baptism. And the girl, who was because of this girl's profession of faith, and so she's getting baptized. She went and got baptized that Saturday night. She was 27, and her family was threatening to bomb the church because of her believing Muslim faith. You know, they didn't slow her down at all. She got baptized along with this other young man. And that Saturday night, Sean, she was bold, standing for Jesus. She, the Lord is her Savior. And we were quite impressed by the boldness of her faith and also the church's faith. So, despite the bomb threat, her meeting, she got her praise God.
You know, that also... Go ahead. Yeah. Well, I think that's something we all need to keep in mind, to be in prayer for for those who are in the mission field or who are out there that are in constant, under constant attack, physically, spiritually. And, you know, we just don't sometimes comprehend what it's like to be safe here. I can't imagine what it would be like to be in an Islamic country such as that. And just knowing that everybody around you opposes what you want to, and they'd like to see you dead. Now, that does take boldness. And that really, if you are not in a relationship with the Lord, a strong relationship, I don't think you could survive it. I don't think that would happen.
While we were there also, there was a number of folks from the Malatya Church. And that's where a missionary and two Turkish believers were murdered by the Muslims. And anyway, they were there at the church. And just noticed the widow, she had the joy of the Lord. It was something just, I was very impressed with her faith, and just very strong, and her children were there, and they weren't slowed down.
This is amazing how the Lord works in this. Well, thank you, Perry. We are the people and the sheep of his pasture, still here in verse 3. I'm going to have to speed up. Oh, my goodness. I'm sorry. We are the people. We are his people. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. And I know that you've heard before about what it means to be sheep. Now we blindly walk around probably bumping into things like a poor blind daisy dog at home. But sheep. God is our shepherd. He watches over us. He cares for us. Since Christ put his life for us so that we could live. Going into verse 4, because I am running out of time, because I really want to get into this. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving. Enter into his gates. As we go through the door, thanksgiving. Are you thankful as you come to worship? Are you thankful? Is your heart thankful? So, and as we enter his gates, is there an awe there? Here's where the Yankees come in, Steve. I told him the other day I was going to talk about the Yankees. The first time I went into Yankee Stadium, the cathedral of the baseball world. Sorry if you don't like the Yankees, but what it is, you know, I can't change it.
Whatever.
I've been in a lot of ballparks. There's nothing like Yankee Stadium. And when you first walk in, it's like, oh man, I'm in Yankee Stadium. You know, my heroes, Babe Ruth, Lou Gehrig, Mickey Mantle, Whitey Ford, I've all walked here. Here I am. Then you walk to the field. The field. Okay. Then just last year, guess what? They built new Yankee Stadium. And I got to go in new, and it was bigger. Oh! Okay? Now, how come when we go into church we don't feel that same awe? How come we don't feel that same tingling? You go before the King of the universe, the Creator, and we have more excitement about Yankee Stadium than you don't, but I do. But you've been in places. It's your baby, it's, I don't know, the ball or something. But the idea is that do we get so used to church that we just kind of go, yeah, it's another Sunday, here we are. Here we are again. Play that music. Sing those songs. Preach the gospel. Okay, time to go home and eat. Is that how we are? So, you know, when I was thinking about this, and I thought, oh, you know, but anyway, anytime I study, it's self-convicting, trust me. Because I'm thinking, yeah, I really did get excited about Yankee Stadium. So I really have to think about that. And so when we enter his gates with thanksgiving, and I'm going to really shorten this a lot more than I wanted to, but we need to prepare. Being thankful that I can even come into his presence. I'm no better than the ant crawling along there, as far as there's no glory in me other than the Lord himself. I know I'm above the animals. I know we have a soul. You know, I'm not talking about that. But what I am saying is that I need to be thankful for what God has given to me, regardless of any circumstances. Okay? Enter his courts with praise. Now, you know, this is word just went flying right by. Example, for lack of a better thing to say, of the temple itself. When you entered into the gate of the temple, where'd you come into? Does anybody remember the old temple?
The outer court.
The outer court. Where's the outer court? Is there a court? Or, yeah. You know. Well, yeah, for the Gentiles. Okay, we Gentiles. Could we go into the inner court?
No.
Couldn't go in there. It's reserved. But now it's saying this is open to all. We're not only going through the gate. We're coming into where God sits. How unfortunate it would have been for me, I guess, if I went in through the main gate of Yankee Stadium, but I didn't get to go to the court or to the field. I just heard all the cheers. Roar, roar. And I'm sitting there looking down. Okay, yeah, what's going on? This really is nice here, but I really like to get into the inner court. Really like to get in and see what's going on. Okay, well, guess what? We're invited. Now, why are we supposed to go in there? Praise. Today, when we go into church, are you going to go in with thanksgiving and are you ready to praise? Why do you think we open with a song? By the way, songs of praise. It gets our hearts ready to worship. We're not just going to learn. If we ever get to the point where we're just here to learn, we're dead. Okay. Be thankful to him and bless his name. I've got a lot to say here, but unfortunately, we receive mercy from God daily, constantly. Therefore, we should be thankful. And we should bless his holy name. Okay. I have to go to verse 5, sorry. I'd like to dwell on that a lot more, but for the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. First of all, what does it say? The Lord is good. That's all that needs to be said. The Lord is good. He is an inexhaustible fount, or fountain, of goodness. Inexhaustible, never ending. God is good. His mercy, well, his mercy is an ever-flowing stream. It has no beginning, it has no end, it's always full. His mercy is always full, no matter what you do. Go to the Lord and you will seek and seek forgiveness. His mercy will be upon you. His mercy is there. You don't use it up. Okay? It's always there. His truth endures. It's like a bottomless ocean, the truth of God. His truth never ends. So the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures forever. That is Psalm 100. It sums up who God is. It's a song of praise. Now, since we've run out of time, but Steve has been gracious enough just to hang on long enough, what I'd like us to do is praise God through singing. And it's going to, if I can just pass these out. This is Psalm 100, but it's kind of like a paraphrase. I'm going to get the front row. And by the way, singing was not meant to be done sitting down. So, If you'll stand up and speak, if I could ask you to come forward. Do you have enough time? Here, right here. Yeah. In other words, the tune is very familiar to you. Praise God to whom all blessings flow. Apparently with these words.
Okay. So we're going to sing this together through the tune of the doxology.
All people have